Lights along the shore never grow dim. May it guide us to Jesus. My talk this morning is going to be about light, as you might have guessed by the song we just sang. This is kind of different for me, because usually I'm the guy that gets scheduled to speak right after the Labor Day meeting, and we have all of these wonderful evangelists and these great encouraging talks, and then next week you have Marty. It's always kind of intimidating. But this time I'm the week before, so somebody else has to speak after all those evangelists. Sorry about that, Tim. Maybe your topic should be unrealistic expectations, something like that. Anyway, my talk is going to be about light. Got a head bonk. Psalms 97, 10, 12. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Light is really cool, and it's very important to man. It's essential for our life. Man cannot live without light. It's just a fascinating thing. Here's a picture, a map of the United States at night with all the lights on there. I brought my laser pointer and I forgot it. Can you guys find Des Moines on there? You can find Des Moines. All right, see? Chicago up there, right? Great Lakes. Go up to the northwest there. That's Minneapolis. Straight down, that next big one, that's Des Moines. Omaha on the left, Kansas City down below that, St. Louis over here. You can see Des Moines on a map from outer space of all the lights that are there. That is so cool. You can see man's fascination with light. We love light because we need it to survive. You can make really cool things with light. Neon signs. I wanted Brady to be here with the Batman. I brought that in just for him. All these cool signs with neon lights. Fireworks, right? Fireworks. It's really cool. Lasers. Lasers are really cool. I have my laser pointer that I brought and forgot. We do all these things with light because we're fascinated by it. We're creatures of light. We use it for everything in our lives. Almost everything we have is associated with light in some way. Every little gadget has light in it. Every little thing has light in it. Everything produces light because we need it in our lives. We have it for utility. We use it for everything that we do. It provides comfort for us, entertainment. All the things I just showed you were entertaining things for us. It gives us security. We have our street lights, our parking lots lit up at night. Light for guidance, right? We use it to see with wherever we're going. And light gives us inspiration, inspires us into doing greater things. We need light to survive. Without light, we couldn't survive. There are a couple of creatures in the deepest, darkest bottom of the ocean that don't have light. But besides them, everything else needs light to survive, to grow, to be happy. If we had no light in our lives, we would be dull, unhappy people. Well, we wouldn't live. We'd be dead people. So light is essential for us. God knows that. He made us that way. Very familiar verse, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. We're not three verses into God's message to man, and we have light. One of the very first things he ever created was light. And it was the first thing that he said that was good. He said, light, wow, that's good. So God wanted us to have light. It was essential. The essential part of man. So what is the meaning of life? I've read this story before about this author. He went to a seminar on philosophy. And while he was there, of course, he has to kind of be funny and ask the doctor there, "So what's the meaning of life?" And the doctor said, "I can tell you the meaning of life." And I've read this story before. He said, this is the doctor speaking, the philosopher. When I was a little boy, I found this broken piece of mirror, and I've carried it with me my whole life. I used to make a game of catching light in it and reflecting light into other places. I love to reflect light into dark places and little cracks and crevices and places where light would never shine without it. As I grew older, I realized this wasn't a game at all, but a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I am not the light or the source of the light, but light, like truth, knowledge, wisdom, and love, is out there and will only shine in dark places if we reflect it there. Each of us is a small fragment of a mirror that can reflect light into some dark place and into the dark hearts of men. This is my purpose and the meaning of my life. So what's the meaning of life? Jesus gave us the meaning of life. He gave us this purpose, to reflect him into the dark hearts of men and into the dark places of the world. Some places will never get this message without us. Not because they haven't heard of God or haven't heard of Jesus, but it hasn't had that light reflected at the right time and in the right way for them to get the message, for the darkness to be pushed aside and for light to illuminate their mind and their hearts. That's the meaning of life, and God gave it to us. A couple of verses here. John 8:12. The children's class, the last couple of weeks, light has been mentioned prominently in those verses, and we'll go over those in just a minute. John 8:12, Jesus speaking, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Jesus is the light. He is the light in this dark world that Satan rules. If you follow him, not only will you have light, you will have life eternal in a place where light will always be, and there is no darkness. John 1:4-5. In him, talking about Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend of it. People see the light, but they don't understand what it is. And that's what our purpose is to not only show them the light, but to help them understand the light of Jesus. What is the message that God has? So we need to shine that light into their hearts. They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. That darkness has overwhelmed them, and our purpose is to illuminate them, bring that light into their life, so they can have eternal light and eternal life. So, you might know Acts 9. Anybody know something about light and blindness happens in Acts 9? Anybody know what that is? Off the top of your head? There's a man. A man who is a God-fearing man doing what he thinks is right to God. He's going to Damascus to do something. And what happens? Suddenly, there's light. Blinding light all around him. A blinding light. There's so much in that story there. Jesus is the light. He's there. Saul is blinded. He has that darkness in his heart. Even though he's a God-fearing man, he doesn't have the message. It's not illuminated correctly. He doesn't comprehend the correct message. So he's blind. God puts that blindness in there. It was a metaphor for what he's trying to teach him. And so he goes and he gets the message. And then he has his sight. Light, blindness. It's illuminated by another man, and then he has his sight. It's a great story. It's a great metaphor. And I mean, it's not a metaphor. It's exactly what God is trying to teach us. Acts 28:18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Light is Jesus. Darkness is Satan. Direct correlation there in the scriptures as you go along. To have Jesus in our life, to have that light, we have to push the darkness out, push Satan out, and then we will have the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life. So let's go to Matthew 5:14. I'm going to talk about it. You are the light of the world. So we had Jesus, he said, I am the light from God. Now he's talking to, who is he talking to here? It's not just the apostles. I'm getting ahead of myself here. You are the light. We are the light in a dark world. He gives us that mission, that meaning of life we talked about earlier. He gives us that meaning. He lives in us. He shines through us. We are the mirrors that reflect that light, illuminate the world from him. John 1:4 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. This was John's mission. It's our mission as well. We're not the light, but we're to bear witness to that light, to bring it into the world. Let's go back to Matthew 5:14, because there's some interesting things here that are essential to what the message is. So, here's Matthew 5:14. Who's he talking to? That's key. He's not talking to just the apostles here. This is the Sermon on the Mount, right? He's talking to a whole bunch of people, basically everybody. He's talking to everybody who's there that are listening. So it's not just a message to a few people. He says, you are the light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Very familiar verse to us. So there's some certain things here that we need to focus on. You are the light. It is personal accountability. He's given that mission to each and every one of us. He says, you are the light. Not, I would like you to be the light, or you should try and be the light. You are the light. It's personal accountability. I told the high school class, I didn't want to get off on this rant about a personal accountability, because our society has become a society of victims. Nobody's ever responsible for anything. Anytime anything happens, it's always somebody else's fault. And of course, I can sue them and get a lot of money for it. So nobody has any kind of personal accountability before us. Jesus has given us personal accountability. You are the light. It's you. It's me. It's each one of us. We each have a personal responsibility for this mission and this meaning of life. It can't be any clearer than that. Talking about visibility. It's a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hidden. And you don't light a lamp and then put a basket over the top of it. I had the flashlight with the children's class. I lit it up and put my hand over it. It doesn't give any light. It's talking about visibility here. You're to be seen. You're to be seen as a Christian. At work before, I had people say, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian, or I didn't know you went to church. Well, in some circumstances, that may be understandable if you don't know anybody at all. But for the most part, that's really a stab in the heart of a Christian. If somebody says, I didn't know you were a Christian, that means you're not visible. You have to be visible out there. It's not just about believing and saying, I believe. It's about doing and being visible and people seeing you, because you're not a light if people don't see you. It's also about community. It's a personal accountability, and it's a community, a congregational accountability. We're all the light here too. He talks about a city that's set on a hill. Other places he talks about, you know, a strong tower or a house dividing itself or their mansions. It's not singular here. He talks about a city. A city is full of houses. Not just one house. Lots of houses. One light on a hill can be seen for a long way away. But when you have hundreds of lights or thousands, hundreds of thousands, you can be seen from space. It's community. We're all accountable to be visible, to be Christians, to do the work, which is the next one. It's work. It's action. It says, let your light so shine that they may see your good works. If you just believe, wonderful, but it means nothing. You get back to James. It's about good works. We have to do things. Individually, we have to have action and do things. Community as a congregation, we have to do things. You have to do things in the congregation. We have to do things outside. We have to do the work. Not just believe, but do the work as well. Personal accountability, visibility, community, congregation, doing the work, doing the action. So, in the daytime, light in the daytime. You can see lights in the daytime. We have lights in the daytime all the time. Your car lights are on a lot of times in the daytime. Rental cars, motorcycles, they automatically come on. You can't turn them off. They're on day or night. And you can see them in the daytime. There's a reason for that. Even though it's day, you can still see the lights. You have lighthouses. Lighthouses are on day and night. They don't turn them off when the daytime comes because, oh, we don't need them. They still need them. And mirrors, a mirror reflecting the light, even in the daytime, can be seen for hundreds of miles. I mean, use it for signaling back in the old days. Out to sea, hundreds of miles, you can see it out to sea. Because even though it's day, you still need light. Because things can happen. fog can come in, smoke. Things could obscure other lights, and then you need those lights. So the application is, we're a light here, but you need to be involved because you can't say, well, I don't need my light to shine because this person over here is shining. You don't need me. And we do need you. We need every one of you. We all need to let our light shine, even if we think, I'm not necessary. It's daytime. I don't need a light. You need a light anyway because it's better and things can happen. And together, our light shines a lot brighter. Also, you have to be careful of Satan because he masquerades as an angel of light. He has a light, but it's false. It's not the right one. So we have to be careful that we have the correct light and that we don't fall for somebody else's false light. That was the point there. There can be a false light. People who think they're the light, but they're not. Satan wants you to follow this false light or to be a false light, but don't fall for it. We have the scriptures that tell us how to be a true light. So, light in the dark. That's the best thing. That's when a light really is most effective, is in the dark. We have this eternal debate. We call it light or dark. It's about the use of our resources. Is it better to go out into the world and spend our money trying to take Jesus to other people, even though we think they won't believe it? Or should we focus our time and energy on the congregation and trying to keep us faithful and intact and going around to the faithful and making sure that we're strong? So let's spend our money here. No, it's better if we spend them there. Let's have more meetings over here. Now let's send our money over to the Philippines where they don't have anything, trying to spread the money, trying to spread the word. So we have this debate back and forth. What's the right answer? The right answer is both. We need to do both. How you want to do the percentages, you can debate about. There may not be a right answer, but the answer is both, light and dark. You shine your light like a lighthouse, day and night. You go in both places. So the most effective use of a light is to shine it at your feet in the dark so you can see where you're going. There's two ways, low at your feet so you can see where you're going. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You have to see what's in front of you. You have to see the obstacles that are there. If you have the light up here, shining around, it doesn't do you any good. In Boy Scouts, we have these little hats that have the lights on them. They're in the bill of the hat so you can see what you're doing. But when you're standing around talking to each other, you're all blinding each other because you're looking at each other and the lights are shining in your eyes and you're blinded. So we have to be careful that our light doesn't blind other people, that we're not in your face so much that it's disengaging and turning off. You have to shine the light at people's feet. Show them the obstacles that are in front of them. Show them the way they're supposed to go. And then it's most effective. Or it's way up high, like the city on a hill. It's a beacon. It draws people in. It says, look here. And they're in the darkness and they see it and they go, what's that over there? I want to go there and find out what that is. Exodus 13:21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. What do you think other people saw when they saw that pillar of fire by night? Do you think that was impressive to them, interesting to them? What is that? They went to go and investigate it. I'm surprised that there aren't really any references to people coming going, what is that? Although they were probably scared to death, so they just stayed away from it. But you light people's paths, show them the way, show them the obstacles in front of them so they can get around them, get over them, and you hold it high as a beacon to say, here I am, come and see me, come and see Jesus in my life. That's the way we do it. So, some things that block light in people's lives keep us from doing that. The worldly pleasures, obviously. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People love the pleasures of the world, and it can stop us. And we can fall into that trap, too, of loving the pleasures of the world, and then we can't shine because we love the darkness, and we go to the darkness, and we don't shine our light for Jesus. Pride is one of the big things. And pride is a funny thing, because I'm proud of my son for going to college, but that's not a bad thing. It's because I'm not holding it up as, well, my son's better than your son. That's the thing. It's the comparison. C.S. Lewis wrote about, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. It's the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. That's where pride is. I'm better than you. I have more than you. I've got a Maserati and you're driving a VW Beetle. Beetles are pretty nice. But it's the comparison. So it's not pride in having something other than saying I have it and you don't. So, for he, God, will repay everyone according to what the person has done. Eternal life to those who strive for glory, honor, and immortality by patiently doing good, the action again, light shining through action. Wrath and fury for those who in their selfish pride refuse to believe the truth and practice wickedness instead. Part of pride is being willful, doing your own will and not doing God's will. We know what God's will is a lot of the time, but we don't want to do it. I'd rather do this my way. I'd rather do what I want to do. That's pride, being willful. So you overcome that with humility, being human. Human? Humble. There we go. The last one I have here is unbridled ambition. Ambition is good, but when it's ambition that is uncontrolled, then that's the problem. When you want stuff above what God wants. Do not act out of selfish ambition or conceit, but with humility, thinking of others as being better than yourselves. Do not be concerned about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. Having the same attitude among you that was also in Christ Jesus. We're getting back to the light. You're being the light. You're reflecting the light. Not what you want, but the light of Jesus. That's the reflection. What do I have next? I just have some verses here. And I'm going to let you go ahead and read these as I offer the gospel invitation. I kind of breezed through that real quick, but we have to be a light for Jesus. 1 John 1:5, which is not what is on here. And this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, none at all. You can read the rest. Are you a light for Jesus? Or are you doing your own will? Or you might be a light. You believe, but you've covered up that lamp. You've hid it because you don't want to do the works, or you want to do your own will, or whatever. Our work is to be lights for Christ and to reflect him into the world. That's our mission. It's the meaning of our life. We're beacons by day, and we're lights to guide at night. That's what we're supposed to do. If you don't have Christ in your life, then you're not a light for Jesus. He said, you are the light. If you're not being the light, then you're not doing God's will. To start that, you have to join the community, the congregation, the body of Christ, by believing, accepting him, and being baptized. We offer that invitation all the time. It's always open. We do it now especially because we're all here as the light of Christ. So, don't get caught up in the darkness. Go to the light. The light of Christ is offered as we stand and sing.